its current state on WKAR. Welcome back. I'm Mark Bayshore. A new study on the relationship between HIV-infected children and their caregivers is showing some remarkable benefits for both groups. MSU researcher Michael Boyven and colleagues recently published the findings in the Journal of Pediatrics, and Dr. Michael Boyven joins us now on Current State to talk about the study. Welcome.
Thank you.
So with this study, what did you set out to learn exactly?
Well, 10 years ago, I met Professor Klein at a World Congress of Psychology meeting in Montreal. We had both independently submitted seminar training proposals, her for a caregiver training model to which she's developed her professional career mediational intervention for sensitizing caregivers to train caregivers in low-resource settings throughout the world, ways in which they can practically enhance the development of their children within day-to-day interactions in their home environment. I had submitted an independent proposal to train psychologists in low-resource settings, ways in which they could assess neurodevelopmental, neuropsychological benefits of public health interventions from a year of work I had done in the Democratic Republic of Congo on a Fulbright Research Award. They didn't want to fund both seminars independently, so they asked us to combine our two seminars. And so that was the first time I met Professor Klein. We spent a week together, teaching about ways in which to evaluate neurodevelopmental, neuropsychological assessments. Professor Klein teaching about her MISC, her mediational intervention for sensitizing caregivers to enhance child development. And from that point on, we were looking for opportunities how to combine our approaches. And we finally received that opportunity with an NIMH grant to look at the effects of MISC with HIV-infected and HIV-affected children in Uganda, and to document the benefits of her intervention model with neurodevelopmental, neuropsychological assessments of these children in their households.
So tell us about the people in Uganda that you studied then.
We work with families affected by HIV in a rural district. Initially, our first project was in Kayunga district, which is about 80 kilometers northeast of Kampala, the capital of Uganda. And now we're involved in a five-year project, also sponsored by the NIH, to look at the effects of MISC on enhancing neural development of children, both infected and children exposed but not infected to HIV, orphans and vulnerable children, for example, in the far eastern district of Tororo, which is near the Kenyan border.
So you are looking at how to sensitize caregivers. In practical terms, talk to us about that.
Yeah, it involves every other week meeting with the caregivers, alternating between meeting them in their homes, within the villages, within the towns, within peri-urban areas where these HIV-affected families live. Meeting with them in the home, we have videotaped segments of their interactions with their children, feeding the children, washing the children, joint work with the children. And then our trainers, who were trained by Professor Klein and her colleagues from Bar-Ilan University in Israel, which is kind of the worldwide center for MISC intervention model. They've trained our field personnel to work with the caregivers, the mothers, the grandmothers, the aunts, the step-parents, whoever those caregivers are within that HIV-affected.
What is it most commonly? Is it mother and
yeah,
child?
about 60% of our caregivers are mothers. Another 20 to 25% then would be the grandmother if the mother is no longer able or available to care for the child. And then from that point on, it would be various aunts or extended family members or perhaps a step-parent. So these field trainers will work with the mother in the home environment and then periodically in our office setting as well, using videotapes in systematic instruction on practical ways that these interactions between caregiver and child can be enhanced to really facilitate three basic dimensions. One, to expand cognitive awareness, interactions, memories, thoughts, functions pertaining to that given activity. Two, to foster positive emotions and affect, to create a very positive emotional atmosphere for that child's development. And then three, to regulate that child's behavior, to direct that child's behavior in appropriate and sensitive and effective ways. We begin with allowing the caregiver to establish her goals for MISC. What are her purposes, her goals? How can they help her achieve the kind of dreams and hopes and goals for that child, particularly now that these children with HIV are surviving longer? Before, HIV used to be a death sentence in these low-resource environments for the vast majority of infected children. But now with programs such as PEPFAR and UNAIDS providing antiretroviral treatment and medical support, the lifespan of these children is far greater. And for the first time, caregivers are beginning to think about the future of their children and ways in which perhaps they can enhance the future of these children so that they can be successful educationally and in achieving a vocation or career or some kind of meaningful contribution. Hmm.
Is it a stretch to assume that a really competent caregiver employing some of the tools that you are talking about here may actually be prolonging the life of some of these young people as well?
Yeah, we've seen three areas of benefit in our published research thus far. The first is an actual direct developmental benefits of our MISC intervention children compared to treatment as usual, which is a basic nutrition educational program that the caregivers are presented with so that they get as many contact hours as the MISC intervention children. So we've seen direct developmental benefits in enhanced language development, global cognitive development, memory, working memory, visual spatial learning and problem solving, using very specialized tests for preschool toddler children that we've adapted to that type of cultural context.
And in layman's terms, Dr. Boivin, give us a couple of really nuts and bolts, basic kind of recommendations that you're giving these caregivers that are enhancing these young people's lives. Can you do that?
Sure. Yeah. At baseline, when we videotape their interactions, both feeding the child, washing the child, and in joint work with the child, because typically caregivers in that context don't play much with their children as we might expect in more of a high-resource setting. They do a lot of joint work. They dig in the gardens together. They prepare food together, vegetables. They gather firewood, so forth. We take those videotapes, and when you look at them at baseline, at the beginning of the intervention, there's very little interaction. The caregivers are very focused on accomplishing the task with the child with very little eye contact, proximity, very little language interaction. Then we look at ways that the caregiver can talk about, for example, the water, the qualities of the water, and how that relates to other streams or rivers nearby and the quality of the water in general. It links that to memories in the past in terms of ways in which they've used water, they gather water, the importance of clean water, and then ways in which they can improve the future in terms of additional clean sources, proximity to water. So that's just one example of taking a very common day-to-day activity and turning into a life learning lesson that expands the cognitions of that child.
Fascinating stuff. MSU researcher Michael Boivin has been our guest talking about enhancing the skills of caregivers of HIV-infected young people in Uganda. Thank you, Dr. Boivin.
Thank you.